Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer.
Health's going to play a role in the Seahawks' backup quarterback battle. Geno Smith, who missed the last game with a cyst in his knee, has been limited over the second week of practice after starting the first exhibition game. He's going to get a lot of opportunities this time because it's Paxton Lynch who was out this game after suffering a concussion. John, is it going to be who's healthiest ends up winning the job?
Probably. I think because you figured that with Geno having the bad game in the first game and then having the cyst problem, missing game two, he gave Paxton Lynch the chance to, you know, move ahead. And unfortunately for him, even though he had a great first game, he had a terrible second game. And now he's got the concussion. Now, you saw him in practice today. I mean, after practice, he was running around trying to get as much work in as he can, but he's not going to play. But it comes down to, it's like, who does the best moving the ball in the preseason games? And Paxton's the only one that's been able to do it so far as the backup quarterbacks. But I'd say right now, it swing things back to Geno Smith.
Does it seem to you, John, like Shaquem Griffin is on the outside looking in?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feared that from the very beginning. But here's the thing that I kind of wonder about is that, could he at least get through the waiver period, nobody claim him, and then he has a chance to maybe come back on the practice squad?
That's what I would think, because I'm not so sure that other teams would take the chance.
Yeah.
On him, and I'm not sure if other teams were going to draft him. Was he a fifth rounder or sixth rounder?
Fifth round pick.
Yeah, I guess there were still plenty of teams that could have taken him, but I don't know if maybe the rest of the NFL is. Yeah, so maybe he would clear waivers, right?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, again, I can't guarantee it. I mean, and that's where, you know, it gets real tricky. You know, the one thing to the advantage of now teams that want to keep their guys and get them to the practice squad is that, you know, you don't overdo it, because there's only going to be about maybe 30, 33 claims when you get to that, as far as that. And, of course, everybody else can then go to the practice squad. And so, like, for example, you know, with the four receivers battling for the six spots or the four spots for that six wide receiver, that, you know, at least two, you know, are going to make it through the waiver period, and maybe three.
Who's the receiver from Vanderbilt that's still on the IR?
Caleb Scott.
Caleb Scott. Any news on him, John?
Well, they released him. I think they injury settled it. I don't think he's on the.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he settle?
I think he did. Yeah, because either his injury elapsed to a point where he's no longer there. But he's no longer on the roster whatsoever.
I've always wanted to do a story on who has made the most while playing the least. Mm-hmm. I did it in the NBA.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Oh, yeah. Charlie's got to be up there.
Yeah?
Oh,
but
absolutely.
You know
what? You think there's somebody else?
Well, Bradford's played a lot. But Bradford's made way more money than Charlie Whitehurst. And he just – but he – Bradford might give him a run for his money if you were going just because of the sheer volume of money that Bradford's made.
Don't ever bring up Bradford to Bob Stelton.
He loves Bradford.
He does.
Where is he now?
I don't think he's in the league, is he?
Is he out of the league now, John?
Yeah. No more interception Jesus.
No.
Sam Bradford.
Well, Sam Bradford, no, he's out of the league right now.
He was with Arizona last year, got hurt, and then that was the end of it.
So far.
Hmm.
John, let me ask you about Antonio Brown, because it sounds like the great helmet saga has ended.
Well, it looks like with Antonio, I don't know if anything ever ends. I mean, it's not ended yet, because he's got a hearing coming up on a grievance on Friday to see if he can still make this Hail Mary type of move, to see if he's going to be able to, you know, keep the helmet, not keep the helmet, or which helmet he can try to get in the variation. But I thought one of the most interesting things last night on Hard Knocks is that a lot of it's not necessarily the comfort level of having the helmet. It's the beauty of AB being in the helmet. So I think this thing has definitely gone to his head, and he can't shake it out of his head.
It's vanity. He likes the way he looks in this helmet.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I heard him say something like that about the looks. And did you see it last night, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I thought that
what it was, his teammates were saying how ugly the new helmet looks, and he goes, "Yeah." And of course, that gets to the point that he felt that he's being betrayed because he's not looking as good.
Gruden should have got the rest of the team together and said, hey, make sure you tell AB how good he looks in his helmet. But, hey, how about the Frank? I know that he's past his prime, but I still love Frank Caliendo.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
He came in and did the Gruden imitation. They brought him in. It was hilarious. But, yeah, I mean, and the part that bothered me the most is Gruden went up and tried to have a really nice heart-to-heart conversation with Antonio Brown and said, hey, if there's anything, you know, you can come to me and everything. And then, right, and he was, they had a good conversation, John, you heard it. And then all right. of a sudden, just right after that, oh, you know, he's not with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was just.
That's him. And again, I don't know why he's gone off the deep end like this, but I mean, he's become as bad as any player we've seen in a long time.
You know, I have no sympathy for him if it's about the looks of the helmet. That is so stupid.
It's so selfish. I mean, how yeah. bad was it? I mean, his former teammate James Harrison ripped him for saying, yep, that's what, he's purely selfish on his part, and I'm sure this is a guy that you know, probably grew tired of him yeah. in the Steeler locker room.
Oh, I'll bet. But yeah, I mean, because I had sympathy for the guy, okay, how it fits and everything. My helmet was really important to me. But if it's about the aesthetics, he can go pound sand.
I'd like to say this, that it's shocking to me that by letting a player dictate the terms of what he gets when he got the trade that he wanted to leave, that by appeasing him, that somehow he thought that he could get everything he wanted. Mm. Because you would seem to think that like giving him what he wanted would make him happy and stop making him ask for other things. And instead, it seems like it's just encouraged his idiot behavior.
He's like a child. Yeah. He just wants more, more, more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. You never learn the word no. It's, look, I think that there's a lot of parallels between this and Terrell Owens when he was playing for Bill Parcells' Dallas team. And Terrell Owens ended up having a decent run in Dallas after Parcells left, but that was an unworkable situation. I think the same is going to end up being true with Gruden and Antonio Brown. I can't imagine they don't go sideways this year.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can see how mad he – I mean, he has to be so mad. I used the line that earlier today that if you're John Gruden, you probably – you know, you go to the office at 3:30, 4 in the morning. You put on a helmet because you're sitting there every day pounding your head saying, why do we make this stupid move? I mean, he needs a helmet to protect his head from his hands because of this.
John, was it Jim Haslett when he was coaching the Saints who made the crack about how he got to the office a half hour earlier than John Gruden lies about being there? Am I remembering that right?
I don't know if he said that directly, no. I mean, all I know is that every time I would go down to Raider training camp in Napa, I'd have to be in his office by 5 o'clock if I wanted to catch him. And he was there.
Tell you, it's always receivers.
It is always
receivers. Always receivers. Chad Ochocinco, Terrell Owens, OBJ, Antonio Brown. I mean, it's amazing that position and who those guys think they are. Mm-hmm. Because they run, you know, you run a great route, you make a great catch and everything, but there's 5 guys that got to block for you. There's a quarterback that's got to put it on the spot. There's other receivers that are running routes that are decoys or whatever. And it's just amazing to me that other than Baker Mayfield, all of the pop-offs are wide receivers. And Baker Mayfield, by the way, John, he needs to shut his trap.
I'm starting to agree with that.
John, what's up with that?
We want him to continue talking because it's always good stuff, but man.
Yeah, what's the latest on that? What, he said something about Daniel Jones in a GQ article.
Taking Daniel Jones, it's like wow, what a terrible move. It's kind of like that. I mean, he says, I'm shocked. And it's like, okay. And then he starts to use the analogy that, losing quarterback record is like, how do you take a losing quarterback that doesn't throw accurately and all that stuff? Now, then he came back and tried to make it a little bit easier by saying, oh, he was misquoted in GQ. But it's like, why are you even mentioning the name Daniel Jones when he's not on your team? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a first-round pick. I mean, it's like, he isn't Mel Kiper. I mean, he's the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
He said he was taken out of context, though, John.
Oh, okay. So it's like it takes out of context. It says the guy stinks.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How do you take that out of context? Yeah, he really stinks. He's losing record, everything. Oh, no. That's not what I was saying.
Here's what he said. He said, it blows my mind. That was the direct quote when asked about taking Daniel Jones. And then here's the other quote. Some people overthink it. That's where people go wrong. They forget you've got to win. Either you have a history of winning and being that guy for your team, or you don't. And then that's what Mayfield said. He was talking about himself, not about Daniel Jones when he said that. And then this is Mayfield's. It seemed very disrespectful, and I can understand that, Mayfield said. This is him explaining it away. But what people didn't realize, the conversation entailed of me saying I was surprised I was drafted number one overall. And then me going on a rant after that about QB evaluation and the frustration from the college recruiting process. I don't buy for a second his explanation. And I think 95% of the time when a guy says he was taken out of context, what it means is I sounded really bad and those were my exact words, but I didn't mean it to sound as bad as it did. That's what it really means.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, it's horrible. It's like you just shake your head and say, what is this guy doing? And that's where, this is where I start continuing to worry about the Browns. Where's Freddie Kitchens at all this? He's not stopping any of this.
Well, he's threatening to fire an assistant coach if he is quoted as an off-the-record source.
Yeah, as a leak. And in the meantime, he's got his quarterback ripping other quarterbacks. You know, he's got his wide receiver complaining about different things. And it's like, you know, continuing to rip the New York Giants. It's like, come on, can we just concentrate and play football?
Hey, John, what's going on in Dallas? What's the latest? It sounds like Jerry Jones cracked a joke about Ezekiel Elliott, and Elliott didn't think it was funny. And what's the latest?
No, let's give a better, before you answer that, John, let's get a better synopsis of it, because it includes my favorite word, which is disrespect. Jerry Jones was asked if the backup running back, who was the guy that was running this weekend, John, that looked pretty good?
Tony Pollard.
If Tony Pollard was the best negotiating leverage with Zeke Elliott. And Jerry responded with, Zeke who? And then some jackal in the Dallas media corps started, because he thought it was hilarious. Rocky Arsenault, who is Zeke's agent, was quoted then as saying, I didn't think it was funny, and neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful. John, what do you think?
It's just Jerry being Jerry. I mean, I think you accept that. And he even came back and said, well, I think I've earned the ability to do that, because he was the one who made, against his son's wishes, the personnel office, Ezekiel Elliott, the fourth pick in the draft. And sure enough, I mean, he's been great. I mean, he's lived up to everything that Jerry was looking for. But I think that, but here's the interesting part about this, because the more you talk to people down in Dallas, you know who he reminds you of, Tony Pollard?
Who?
Alvin Kamara.
Really?
Yeah, and Alvin's now one of the best running backs in the league. And so what if, and again, obviously they've got to get something done with Ezekiel. I mean, he's the team, and he makes it easier for Dak Prescott. Because, you know, if you have a good running game and a good, decent defense and Russell Wilson, you're going to win 9-10 games, if not more. You know, Dak's not as good as Russell Wilson. He's good, but not as good. And so now it's a matter that, he needs that running game. And I don't know if Tony Pollard alone can do it, but let's say, for example, he is the next Alvin Kamara. What do you do if you're Jerry Jones?
Yeah. Well, and is it going to bother those two that they signed Jalen Smith to a 5-year extension to get, $64 million?
Yeah, it's 11.3 because it's a 6-year deal for 68. And but here's the baffling part about this. And that's like, okay, Jerry, what are you doing? Because, you know, Ezekiel should be the fourth or fifth in line for a deal, and Jalen Smith should have been sixth. Okay, and the reason I say that is that you have Dak Prescott. He's up this year. You've got, Amari Cooper. I mean, you've got, the third best would be, Byron Jones, the cornerback. And then you can look at maybe Malik Collins and Lalo Collins. Those are, those are guys that are coming up that you're going to lose in free agency. And now they come back and they give the money to, Jalen Smith, who is going to be a restricted free agent next year. And they have 2 years of control over Ezekiel Elliott. So they're doing this all backwards.
I'll say this for Jalen Smith, though. He put out a tweet here. It's a picture of him being, yes, I'm looking at Twitter. Jessamyn almost pulled her neck muscle there, snapping her head around. 3.5 years ago, on January 1st, 2016, tears in my eyes, my life changed forever. I embraced each moment. I had a focused vision, determined belief, and now I have earned one of my dreams. But pictures of him being hauled off on the meat wagon, having that horrible knee injury in a bowl game, and now he's getting this huge contract. What a great story.
Yeah, it really is. And so, because, I mean, you wondered, and particularly knowing that he had the nerve damage and he had drop foot, that was he going to be able to do anything in this league? And now he's got to the point now where he's an $11 million deal. And, of course, I mean, let's put it this way. The one thing I think that Jerry's trying to make a point of, because, you know, some people thought it was going to be 14, some people thought it was going to be 12. Well, it's 11-3, and it's pretty well a career-ending type of contract. And so I guess, you know, Jalen, being appreciative to what the Cowboys did for him, you know, responded by taking a below-market deal. But I think Jerry's trying to make the point, hey, all you guys got to take a below-market deal.
I'd say this, though. When it comes to the idea of being disrespectful and Ezekiel Elliott's agent saying it was disrespectful what Jerry said, Ezekiel Elliott's not showing up for work right now, right?
Right.
I mean, he's holding out. Is that disrespectful?
That's the epitome of disrespect.
And if your boss, if you decided not to go to work and your boss responded with Zeke who, like, wouldn't you think that, like, well, I guess I could understand why you might take a little bit of a shot at me or make some sort of, I'm not present at my job currently.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That would not sit well with me if I was
You'd be a very Johnson. Cranky general manager, wouldn't
Probably.
You?
Probably. I wouldn't have much patience for some of this stuff. And I certainly wouldn't try to appease someone with the idea of, like, oh, now he'll settle down. Oh, maybe Antonio Brown got that all out of his system in Philadelphia. When you give a knucklehead what he wants, he tends to become more of a knucklehead.
Right.
Yeah, what's the line in basketball? It's like you're only allowed to have one knucklehead on your team, because if you have two, then they talk to each other.
That's exactly right, John.
That's true, Professor. Hey, John, Frank Reich in Indianapolis is saying that he's probably not going to play many of his Colts starters in the third game. And, John, you know that the third game is when we usually see most of the starters. Is this a trend? Are we going to start seeing more and more of this in the third game?
Yeah, and I hope they come out of these negotiations between the players and the NFL, which is going on in Chicago as we speak, is like, okay, let's take the preseason down. I think, you know, there's more of a likelihood it would be going 4-3. But, yeah, because what you're seeing is in the trend, you know, and it's, you know, it started with two coaches and their offensive head coaches, Doug Peterson, who doesn't play many starters in the preseason. And you got Sean McVay, who doesn't play any. Although, how about that? He played one inside linebacker. He was the only starter on the field and he tore his pec muscle and was probably going to miss the season. And so it's like, now John Gruden's thinking about not playing many starters. You know, Frank Reich, an offensive head coach, he's not playing him. You know, Chicago, Matt Nagy, he hasn't played starters. I mean, it's amazing to think how this is all going.
John, have you read the Sports Illustrated story about the Bears kicker competition?
No, because I, you know, hate bad stories like that, because there's no competition. They all stink. You know, I think it's time to bring Cody Doink Doink back.
They need to bring Cody Doink Doink back?
I think they have to.
I thought Wyman would really like this, because it's a bunch of kickers who didn't get the kicking job from the Bears complaining about the weird process they used to select kickers. They thought it was a little too tough, Dave. The competitive that was shrouded in secrecy. They were using Doppler technology, and it was just, some guys wondered if it was really fair, the kicking competition.
Fair.
Well, we're down to one kicker now, and it's like, what I'm wondering is that, you know, they were trying to get involved with, Bore Veldick, who ended up going to Minnesota for a fifth-round pick, and they didn't get that deal done with Chicago. Now I'm kind of wondering, do they make a call to Pittsburgh for Chris Boswell, who was a former Pro Bowl kicker making $4 million a year? I mean, they've got to do something. I mean, like today they cleared up cap room with Charles Leno, the left tackle, you know, giving him back about $5 million of cap room. So I'm wondering if they can make a move on Boswell.
Were you mentioning the Minnesota kicker there?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the deal on him? He punts and kicks?
He punts and kicks, yeah.
Are they going to have him kick?
They haven't decided yet.
He's European.
I mean, let's put it this way. It's being decided by Mike Zimmer. And so it's like, if he gets mad, I mean, I was on the field with Greg Coleman, the old punter, who, you know, does the,
oh, yeah, down,
you know,
the sidelines.
Yeah, and Greg does the sidelines for the Viking games. And so I'm standing there with Greg, and, you know, here's Daniel Carlson coming over. You know, he's really good, and he goes to Oakland, and he's been great. And so he comes over, and he says, I didn't do anything wrong. And Greg says, yeah, I saw, because it was a bad hold. And so he missed it, and I saw I was right near Zimmer, and Zimmer was ready to cut him then. And Chuck Prefer, the special teams coach, who really loved Daniel Carlson, you know, he got so mad at the end of the year, he went to Cleveland. So he's gone. And so what you're looking at is that, you know, you've got an emotional guy in Mike Zimmer when it involves kickers. You know, he goes from Blair Walsh, he goes to Carlson. Now he trades a fifth-round pick. By the way, that's like the biggest trade, highest trade value for a kicker in like 20-some years.
Yeah,
what was the value?
Fifth-round pick.
Really?
Round pick. Yeah.
Well,
and remember, it was a fifth-round pick they invested in Carlson.
Yeah, if they were at practice today, they got a guy who can punt and kick. Today, the offensive line and defensive line had a field goal kicking competition. Jordan Roos kicked like a 15 or 20 yarder by holding it himself.
What?
He was holding the ball, bent over, and then kicked, and it went through.
It's pretty impressive.
So if you could teach him to do that, then they just need one guy. You wouldn't even need
a
holder.
Roster spot.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, wasn't Jaron Reed's the worst kick we watched?
Yeah, that one almost hit me, and I was standing way over to the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was pretty bad.
John, how did Baltimore, because that's where the punter kicker came from, how did they end up with an extra guy to trade?
Well, just they're still kind of scrambling right now to figure that out, because they brought Sean Smith in and they've cut him and they brought another punter in. So I guess they're just playing around with it right now. But remember, I mean, the head coach is John Harbaugh, and he's a former special teams coach. So you have to figure he knows what he's doing. And, they realize they had great value. And think about what John Harbaugh's been able to do for kicking, because here he has Justin Tucker. Right. Justin Tucker's, you know, one of the better kickers in this era. He's been that good, you know, and I think he's the highest paid kicker in the league right now. Well, he has Tucker, and, you know, they bring in Will Lutz, and Will Lutz is kind of like Veldick in the sense that he's so good that everybody wants him. And so, it's almost like the old thing that Ron Wolf used to do. Hey, go ahead and take a quarterback every year. You know, what's the worst thing you can do? You know, you develop them and trade them and get some trade value. Well, now you can see that they didn't get any trade value for Will Lutz, but he's now a $4 million kicker for New Orleans. And now you've got Veldick, who's over in Minnesota, and they think he can be pretty good, whether he's going to be a punter or a kicker. We'll see how about that. But, I trust the eyes of John Harbaugh when it comes to special teams.
Justin Tucker's like an opera singer.
Oh, really?
You seen that? I saw that on Sports, Real Gump Sports, Bryant.
Bryant Gumbel?
Yeah, Bryant Gumbel, Real Sports.
Real Gump Sports.
I had all the words.
Yeah, a word and a half.
Yeah, but I mean, he's really good. Yeah, it's amazing.
How would
amazing.
You know if he was a good opera singer or not?
Well, he was standing up in front of a lot of people, Danny. but I'll tell you what, it's a good question.
Life is just a bowl of cherries here on Gump TV.
Hey, Professor, what's your assessment right now, preseason-wise, with Rashad Penny? Where do we stand with Rashad Penny?
Fine. I mean, and he had the backups in there. They were all scrambled, and he didn't have any running room. I mean, you've watched him every day in practice. He's been good, very good. You watch him in the first games. He was very good. Don't make a rash judgment. And I tell you what, I don't know what it is about in this town, but I know Maura Dooley and I talk about it all the time. It's like, why is everybody quick to jump on Rashad Penny? It's almost like, oh, they made a mistake giving him a first-round pick. This is a good running back. I mean, he's more focused this year. He knows what he's doing this year. He's, thinner, smarter, better. And so he has a bad preseason game with backup. And remember, where I think that Minnesota is like the ideal team for this team to play every year in the preseason. And the reason is they're good. And so if you don't have success against the first team Vikings defense or the first team's Vikings offense, I mean, a lot of it has to do, like, I know people were criticizing the cornerbacks that started the game, and they were going up against two Pro Bowl corners or two Pro Bowl wide receivers.
So do you think he should go against the first stringers this week? I mean, why not just have Carson on the sideline for the entire game against the Chargers and get Penny out there?
Not for the whole game.
At least when the first stringers are out there in the first half.
I think that's fair. Although I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea if you're going to have the first team offensive line out there to maybe put some of the other backs to see how they would do. I mean, if you ever get anything out of CJ Prosize or something like that. But you don't want to risk the injuries. And you've seen now in the last two games, the first two games of the preseason, they've lost four players.
Hey, John, the reason I've been critical of Penny is because he's a first-round draft choice, and usually you expect more from first-round draft choices than what we've seen from him. And not just this year, but I know last year he had a good average per carry, mm-hmm. but I still he doesn't look like a first-rounder to me to this point.
Well, I think he does have first-round ability. Again, he's not the best back. Chris Carson's the best back. And it just so happens that the seventh rounder tops the first rounder. But, I mean, you look, Alvin Kamara, as great as he is, he's not one of the best backs in the league. I mean, he was playing second fiddle to Mark Ingram. I mean, it's the role that he has. And so, give him a chance. I mean, it's like if you watched him in practice, and I know you have, and you haven't seen good things, then you haven't been watching.
John, we found out the nickname for the Seattle XFL team.
Yes, the Dragons.
The Dragons. How do you like the nickname?
It's okay. I mean, I know I talked to Ryan Gusterson for the podcast Schooled with the Professor, and the one thing that I think that he was saying is that it's like a little history thing, and of course you watch the spinning ocean and stuff like, or spinning waters of the lake and all that, and so I like it. I mean, it's kind of it's a little medieval theme to some of the ones that are out there as far as the nicknames for teams, but I think it's okay.
Are there dragons in Game of Thrones?
Oh yeah. There's three of them.
There's a mother of them. She's the best character.
She's not the best character.
Wait, it's a mother dragon? Does the dragon talk?
No, it's a woman who's the mother of dragons.
Oh.
That's her sobriquet. her nickname, Dave.
Okay. Well, she's kind of a dragon,
okay,
too.
Mr. Fancy Pants over there.
I wasn't the one that was talking about how good Justin Tucker was when it comes to being an opera singer.
That was a very good question. How would you know? Well, I just thought he looked pretty good and sounded good. He had a lot of people watching him. How about that?
John, we always appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
If you missed any of the Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, download the podcast, 710sports.com. There's a bunch of grumpy old men talking about baseball. They've got a point, but they're wrong about one thing. We'll tell you next.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere. Everywhere. At 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
How long do you think, when people get older, they have been sitting around and talking about how things were better when they were younger? Is that something that goes back to the Neolithic era with cavemen sitting around and talking about, back in our day when you didn't have rope to tie the rock onto the stick, we were more resourceful? Or, like, these kids, they got it easy today with fire. You try living in a world without fire. I think it's a universal trait. Like, everybody talks about...
The next generation is soft.
How it is now, and they're not as educated, they're not as smart about things. That's happening right now in baseball. You're looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking
about.
Well,
no, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm one of those oldsters who does that stuff, and we say that kind of thing because it's true. That's why we say that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true.
Things used to be better.
Yeah. Like this article we're going to get into.
You know what didn't used to be better? Video games didn't used to be better.
Well,
video games
are
better.
You know, I don't feel deprived. Like Taylor Jacobs, he tweeted something out yesterday. You know, name some video game that you used to play that you wish you could play again with your friends or whatever. You know, and I just, as a wise guy, I just said Pong. Because Pong was the first one that came out.
Do you remember?
But do you feel deprived that you didn't have video games as a kid? I don't.
No, I'm so glad that we didn't. My mom actually got hooked to Superman. It was the old, it was on a, what was it, the Sony or something like that?
The Atari?
You're right. It was Atari. And you would, like, take the joystick and go down, up, left, or right, and it would go, Superman would go into different, like, there'd be a city and then a park and whatever. And she got addicted to that one time and was, like, playing it for hours a day, you know, while my brother and I were at school. She finally was like, I can't do it anymore.
She quit cold turkey?
Yeah.
So you have to go to rehab. Good thing.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, I mean, the video games they sucked back then, right? Pong?
Pong's terrible.
Do you remember the first time you played Pong?
Pitfall was pretty good.
Yeah, Pong was pretty cool when it first came out. You thought, wow, this is cool. There's a little digital ball that's going between the paddles.
What was the one with the where you had the ball and there was like the nuclear strikes coming down? Do you remember?
Missile Command.
Yeah, four cities.
Asteroid?
Yeah. No. Asteroid was different.
Asteroid was different. But yeah, there was
Missile Command is what you're talking
Missile
about.
Missile Command.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Galaga was my favorite by far. But you had to go to like a pizza joint to do that.
Yes, you did. Generally. Yeah. Now you can
now you can
games.
Get that. Yeah. And that's a bad thing.
No, it's great. It's absolutely fantastic.
One People of the ways waste their times doing that.
One of the ways in which the world's improved. The oldsters sitting around and complaining about how things used to be comes up because there's a story in USA Today. Bob Nightingale talked to Goose Gossage, who has become the resident crank. Anytime you want to talk to someone about who used to play baseball, who hates the current state of baseball, you call Goose Gossage. Lou Piniella is also in this article. And I think the hit king, Pete Rose.
Rose is listed in here, too.
And the basic premise is, do you like today's game of baseball with more strikeouts, more home runs, and more walks than ever before? How do these guys like it? And it turns out none of them like it all that much. I think that they've got a point, and I think that you can have an argument and a debate about whether or not you like the game as it's played today compared to how it was played in the 80s, where you had more runners in motion. In general, there were fewer home runs. There was a higher premium. Guys like Wade Boggs were all-stars. I'm not sure how Wade Boggs would be coached or what kind of prospect he would be now. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's one of the all-time great hitters, but he didn't hit for really any power early in his career. He was a third baseman with that kind of thing. The game's changed. It emphasizes power more than ever before. The problem with their approach is that they think it's a lack of skill on the part of the players or bad coaching. I think that's totally wrong. But I guess to start, would you like to see, would you prefer that the game be more like it was in the 80s with more balls in play?
Yeah. I think you need to embrace – I think embracing all the new technology and the sabermetrics and everything is smart. But, you know, as long as it doesn't get away take away from like the old school things of what gets you there. And I think that's what probably those guys are complaining about, right?
They're complaining about the hitting approach, and they almost see that the home runs is a reflection of how guys are being coached, and they're right in that regard. But it's not evidence of a lack of skill. It's not evidence of a lack of skill at all. I don't think. And I think that this started with Joe Maddon talking about you don't want to go and subscribe to some of these coaches that you'll find online, or the point that he had. I think the biggest thing is that they've made it easier to hit home runs. And hitters have adjusted to that reality. And that it's better to try and hit a home run than it is to look to hit to the opposite field and get singles and or doubles. That the emphasis on home runs and the ease with which they can be hit has changed, and hitters are smart. Hitters have changed the way that they hit, and the way that they study, and the way that they prepare, because they're smart and they know the value of hitting a home run.
Yeah, I'm looking at attendance figures being down, and I'd be curious, you know, to find out what younger fans think about baseball, because I get the feeling that baseball, at least with my kids at that level, there's a lot of standing around. It's not as exciting as a lot of other sports, and you have to kind of sit down and get into it and think about what's going on out there. But I'll tell you, when I see strikeouts, it's almost like, you know, if a guy strikes out 10 batters in a game now, it's like, well, it used to be like, wow, that's fantastic. And now it's still good, but not seen as being fantastic. And then the other side of it, the home runs don't seem as special anymore.
Right.
There was one game not too long ago where there were 10 home runs hit in one game, and you're going, well, that just doesn't make sense. And I still like seeing the home runs, but I don't know. I think, you know, I'm talking about the good old days and all that. Honestly, I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of a younger fan, what would be more appealing to a younger fan, because as those of us in my age bracket die off, I still want to see baseball be a fun game and people really enjoy it and want to go to the ballpark and see entertaining baseball. And I'm wondering what that is exactly to newer fans or casual fans, or why they stay away. And so, yeah, the strikeouts are tough for me to watch. That's the biggest fail in baseball to me, is when, you know, a guy strikes out and just doesn't even put the ball in play. Nothing good comes out of that.
Don't you think they can solve a little bit of this by just going back to the ball that they had last year?
I hope they do that.
Yeah. Going back to a dead ball era. Like, honestly, take it a step further, because the part where the old guys are wrong is where it's the way that they're being coached, and that there's some flaw in the coaching approach of how hitters are learning. If you make it tougher to hit home runs, significantly tougher, you're going to see guys go back to hitting the way that they used to hit. And you're going to see more of an emphasis on speed and athleticism and defense, because there's going to be more balls in play. Like, that's the way you do it, is go back to how the ball was last year, but then rewind it even more. Make the parks bigger. Like, those are, the only way to change the game, short of coming up with some sort of communist jerry-rigged rules like banning the shift, is by, go ahead and say, like, look, it's tougher to hit home runs now, and guys will adjust their approach. It's Danny David Moore. It's the Happy Hour. It's brought to you by Heritage Distilling, makers of BSB. That's brown sugar bourbon. Coming up next, we sweep the dial, and that includes, well, an old friend, Nelson Cruz, who, well, he's hits three doubles and a homer in his return. Plus, stay away from the gas station medicine, Major League players. We'll explain next.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com. To left field. To the wall is Jimenez. Tiger! Number 33 for Cruz. Number 243 for the Twins.
Nelson Cruz is pretty amazing. Comes off the DL with what? A hand problem? A tendon?
Yeah, wrist.
Wrist tendon, which is fairly important for a hitter, and Wesley Duke belts three doubles in a homer.
Yeah, I was just looking at his numbers, and I knew he'd missed quite a few games this year. He's missed 37 games. He's only played in 89, 33 home runs, 80 runs batted in. He's hitting .303 with a .1057 OPS at the age of 30. I think he just turned 39 in July, so he just keeps it going.
If you guys, during our era since, what, 2012, 13, where would he rank as far as just a good dude, an awesome example of a baseball player, a professional? I mean, Like, we love Barkevious. We were just talking about Barkevious Mingo and how down-to-earth and nice and fun he is. You know, we have so many people we come across, but Nelson Cruz, man, I just am in awe of that guy. Just everything about him. And when we were in Minnesota for the Viking game, there was a advertisement for the Twins, and they had a little thing hanging off a lamppost or something with Nelson on there. Man, I miss that guy. He was – where do you rank him? It's got to be top five guy, right?
I've never met a guy who's a better player who was a better guy than Nelson Cruz. There's guys that I've run into that have been incredible players. Nelson is top of the top, but he was a guy that's an absolute stud. Usually when guys are that good at baseball, they've got some limits to how much they'll actually engage with you. I always felt that Nelson Cruz was sort of honest and relatable in a way that's really unusual among his peers.
Have you ever had an athlete who has spent a short amount of time, as short amount of time as Nelson did here, that was so beloved by a city?
Yeah.
Either.
And you can tell, I think that, no, I haven't. I've also, you can tell when guys come back and that the staff around the team loves them, that usually says a lot. He gave a tour to John Stanton. Right? When he came back, like we talked to him, because we talked to him when he was in Minnesota, and Stanton went and walked him around the stadium before he came
down
and talked to us.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, before he came to Eggers.
Just fun. You weren't there that week.
Oh, well, yeah.
I saw Nelson Cruz this year.
Oh, you did. Okay, you were there.
Yeah.
Sorry. You almost missed it. You had your brain test.
Oh, my concussion test. That's right. Yeah. So maybe Danny should get checked for it, because he didn't think I was there. I'm glad I made such a big impression on you that day, Danny.
Well, no, it was because I worried that you were going to be gone. I was like, they're testing Wyman's brain. They better pack a lunch.
Jeff Passan reports that the use of gas station sexual enhancement pills has become so prevalent that MLB has to release a memo warning players that the use could lead to a positive PED test.
Have you guys ever bought something from a gas station and used it?
Well, what gas station are these guys going to?
I know. That's what
I want to know. I mean, I've seen condoms there, but I haven't seen...
But those are those little dispensers in the bathroom.
No. They're all over the place. Like, just go...
Gas stations are mini drugstores now, let's be honest.
Right.
You know?
Is it like a little vitamin pack or something?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of, but...
Yes, they can be. They can also be some sort of, like, ginseng supplement and, like, magic of the Far East. There's all sorts of stuff you can
do. Isn't that stuff called, like, Spanish fly or something?
Rhino horn?
Oh, gosh.
Rhino horns are something that they discuss and use. It can be used for that.
Well, if you're in your 20s and 30s, what the hell? You don't need any of that stuff. Do you?
Shouldn't.
Well, probably a reason the stuff's on a banned substance list as well. Like, it might be some sort of stimulant. I know that when I was in high school, we used to take what were called mini thins, and they were pills. I think they were to treat maybe asthma. I'm not sure, but if you took 8 of them, and it would give you a pretty good buzz. And it turns out it's because they had a bunch of ephedra in it. It was terrible.
Oh yeah, diet pills in junior high. Yeah, forget it.
How many did you take?
Yeah, like 8.
Oh, you took 8?
Yeah, it made your hair feel really weird. Like, but it was, I mean, it was similar to speed.
If you could feel your hair, you were pretty stoned.
Oh, yeah. Why do you think we went there? It was totally legal. I'm like, my mom was like, came in one time. She's like, why do you have all of these? I'm like, hay fever.
You lied.
Yeah.
You're a little druggy.
No.
Seems Antonio's all in since he's here.
Is that a joke or what? Yeah. Yeah, he's in. He's all in. That's what he said.
Did he practice today?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got to ask with that helmet on.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Is it a new helmet?
Yeah. It's a certified helmet, Vic. So he's all in, ready to go. That's my understanding. And really happy to have him out here. He's a great player.
It's John Gruden talking about Antonio Brown, who has returned to practice.
Is this today?
Believe it
Earlier
was.
Today?
I think
probably
might have been yesterday.
Might have been yesterday.
Oh, really? Because I thought they'd have Tuesday off. But.
No, because it's the schedule's all lopsided and wonky in the preseason. So he's back. I think there's a 60% chance this entire thing is fake. Like, not that Antonio Brown didn't want his old helmet, but that the entire him not playing and him missing out and the team being worried and the GM, Mike Mayock, coming out and saying he's got to be all in, or that it's all fake and made for TV movies.
You think it's to cover for his feet?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, if they wanted, maybe, you know, do you think Hard Knocks came to him and said, hey, let's make this thing more dramatic. You know he's going to be out till here because of his feet. Let's throw in a little drama with the helmet thing.
Yes.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, that is what I'm thinking.
You know why?
That's interesting.
I think so. I think it was like a deal where Gruden's shutting everything down because that show is downright boring.
It's really boring right now.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not exciting at all.
Even with Luke and all of the crazy people that they have there, you have Richie Incognito. Isn't Vontaze Burfict there,
yes,
too?
Yeah.
Antonio Brown. And the best of them all, Luke Wilson. And nothing is happening.
At all.
So they're like, we'll give you a little. You scratch our back. We'll
scratch
yours.
Why don't they go to Vontaze Burfict, though?
Well, I think Gruden's shutting that down.
You could get some lunacy out of him.
Yeah.
Certainly would expect it to be.
Yeah. Didn't him and Antonio Brown kind of go at it at one point? I mean, yeah.
Burfict almost took his head off.
He did.
I thought it was, oh, yeah.
In the playoff game, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and everybody was like, oh, my God, that's criminal. And I'm like, well, you run across the middle, that's what happens.
Oh, that wraps up the happy hour. It's brought to you by Heritage Distilling, makers of BSB. You got anything to say?
No, I was just enjoying. I was just enjoying what Dave had to say.
We've got Barkevious Mingo. He joins us next in our player spotlight.